Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network. Hello, everybody, and you're all very welcome to another episode of the THL podcast. We've all had tremendous experiences, but can I just say that I was reared to go.
Well, I know you were.
I was so excited.
Honestly,
I was reared to go, and Isabel. What's not your name?
My name?
Yeah.
Larita. Oh, Jesus, he's going to ask me.
Isabel, yes.
He's going to screw me here now.
His daughter that he hasn't seen in 5 weeks.
No, hang on. We would go on.
Isabel. He's called Larita his daughter.
Go on.
I had a scary experience like that as well.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, let's start. He's got so much to say, he doesn't know where to start.
So Larita's here with us.
I'll get you that. I was talking to a young one from Downpatrick.
Right.
She's on the film set. And I says to her, Downpatrick, and she says, yeah, and she's a beautiful young lady. And I said, oh, I had a fling with a woman from Downpatrick once. And she said, oh, yeah. And I said, yeah, about 91 or 92 of the summer in Galway, I had a short little fling. Mm-hmm. And she says, I know, well, you did.
It wasn't her.
It was her mother!
Oh, Jesus, did you got out of there very quick, did
imagine
you?
Imagine that now. I'm at the stage now where I've shifted people's mothers.
Surprise!
From here.
Surprise, Daddy!
But Larita gave me a line. I was raring to go on the podcast this morning, and Larita gave me a line that you'd only ever hear coming out of a woman who's trying to have a baby. I'm not saying Larita's mum's saying it's the type of thing that a woman.
What she said?
She said, don't sport at all, let the one go.
That is pure Larita. That is an adjective people.
He just burst in there. He couldn't actually wait.
Navin people love the verb sport.
Sport. It was like
I have been spurfing is the past perfect continuous. I have been spurfing.
Sporting.
First person singular. Past perfect and continuous of the verb to sport.
Sporting elegance.
Sport. Isn't it a great one? Oh, he made a great sport up the sideline.
Like Tommy's fucking spurted up the stairs like nobody's business.
Yeah, you see, we're not allowed to talk about it until we come on the podcast.
Sky Sports.
Oh, I was awful excited. It's so strange being out of the hen house, but we're here in the heart of Dublin.
We're here in the wonderful Avondale studios, who've been very, very good to us here, and we'd like to give them a shout out.
There's
Avondale
an awful lot of Christmas directions. The Christmas directions?
Yes, Hector, yeah, you need to take deep breaths well.
So, let's start with you, Hector. Okay. You have had a profound... Your life is full of profundities at the minute.
Yeah.
Exiled in Serbia.
COVID in a hotel in Serbia.
And now you came home to probably one of the greatest parish days that a parish can experience. Will you tell us all about it?
Friday night, the match was on, the two matches, the under 17A and under 17B county finals were on in Tuam Stadium. First throw in at 12:15, second one at 2:15. So there was a lot of nervous tension in the house Friday night. So... for the 17Bs, for the Shane's 15, Shawnee Flynn, the fullback's only 15, the rest of them have just turned 16, for them to compete at minor level against the older parishes and to go through the county to get to a 17B.
When you're 15 playing against a 17-year-old...
Oh, Tommy.
It's not like being 35 and riding a 37-year-old.
It's like
being 18 and going at... A 41-year-old.
Exactly. It's like, Tommy, great. It would be, yeah.
There'd be a lot of spurts between 15 and 17.
Spurts,
like, when
quick spurts, very quick.
When a lad who's 17 gives you a shoulder to a 15-year-old or a lad who's just thrown. There's, let's just say, out in Dunmore and Cartoon and all these places, there are some big men.
Would you
big
be
bacon
classified
and cabbage
as,
boys.
Would you be classified as country bucks
we
now?
We are country. We are pure country.
You're country boys.
We are country. It's an agricultural parish. It's a footballing parish. And Turlough Moor is the far side of us, even though we're only 8 miles from town.
Two supermarkets, though, so
we,
I don't know about
we
that.
Are a country parish.
But can I ask you a question? Because I was talking to someone from another parish, kind of a city parish.
Yeah.
And I was saying, how's the underage going? And he says, we're not great. And, you know, and he says, one of the problems is we don't have many GAA families.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm thinking with both of you now in Clare Galway and Knockmore. The parish is just...
It's GAA.
They're footballing
parishes. Awash with families, sporting families.
GAA is in the DNA.
Oh, you write that down. Write that down.
Do you like that?
But you've no running water or internet.
No, and we got the internet last year. We got the broadband last year. And, you know, we have the school bus system now going in and out. And look, it's a simple parish, but it's a GAA parish. But
so hang on. So does that mean that when young fellas are 12 and 13... a lot of their imagination is colonised by GAA. They dream of togging out at minor level. They dream of togging out at senior level.
That's the aspirational thing that you want, and that you want the 12-year-olds. Like I stood in the stand to watch the first game.
Whereas in the parish I live, a lot of boys be dreaming of Audis and getting jobs
and
as accountants.
Yeah.
And second houses.
A holiday home in the Algarve.
They're going building a couple of apartments.
I stood at the back of the stand in Tuam Stadium for the first match and watching Shane and the boys playing Uachtaráin, and I looked to the right and there was a clatter of first years and sixth class boys, and they're all young Clare Galway lads, and they're all 10, 11, 12, wow, 13 years of age, and they want to be the next stars of the minor or under 16. So when you have that going to a match, I said it before in this podcast that when I moved into Clare Galway, the only senior footballer that we knew was Danny Cummins, who was playing on the Galway team for Clare Galway. He was Clare Galway born and bred. My lads only could recognise him basically up at the club. And it's completely changed full circle, where now Rean and Shane and all the lads of their age, 16, 17, they want to go and watch the seniors playing. They know every single person on the senior team. And that's happening in your club. For us, Tommy, the way it is that in Clare Galway, we've nearly 800 juvenile members at the club. It's just blossoming. There's A, B's and C's.
You wouldn't get that in St Patrick's for young offenders.
You wouldn't get it in a Man United Academy. 800 juvenile
members. So you won both the A and the B final. Did the men go for pints then?
Yeah.
The
boys you're rushing it. We have to.
No,
go.
But
we can't get the points.
Well, I'm just concerned.
Let's get to the match.
Okay, but there might be a lot of listeners that GAA means nothing to them. Exactly, but drinking means everything to everybody.
I want to build you up towards the points.
Okay.
So we went down and watched the boys play in Uachtaráin. It was 4-3 or 5-3 at half, 6-3 at half time. It was wintry, damp, wet pitches. And they pulled away in the second half. They were unbelievable.
What did you win by?
We won by 2-13 to 1-3 or 1-6.
A hammering.
Yeah,
a hammering.
No, and for the bees to do it, there was a lovely moment. We at 1:15, we broke away. We went back in under the stands into the dressing room. There was a lot of nervous tension in there. We had beaten Corrifin the last couple of times we played them. This is a minor A final. This is the last game.
So was Corrifin you were playing as well?
Corrifin.
Now would Clare Galway border Corrifin?
Oh, straddles it. Corrifin's a big parish.
What is?
Massive parish.
Would you be sucking some of their lads out?
In Clare Galway, the best of the Corrifin lads, they have two county players, Cormac Graney and Rory Donnan, two good
footballers. They're on the border, are they?
So they're a good, strong team, but they had come in the back door. They had finished third in their group. They had won a quarter final. They had won a semi final. They'd beaten Mike Cullen. Then they come into the final with nothing to lose. So we had to focus our boys. And
how do you focus them?
Tommy, I'm always looking for that extra percentage.
You should have rang Tommy and get him to do a
you
class
know, Tommy, that we have shared books over the last couple of years about the extra percent. What is a captain? What makes a leader? And really, I know that you know your GA. So I'm looking for that extra percentage. Fozzie Concannon took the reins.
How old is he now? He could be 34 or 19.
Fozzie took the reins in the dressing room and Fozzie's the manager, and he started getting the boys going. We are going out as a unit. We are going out.
The worst thing that could ever happen to a manager is what?
He can get them too high, too quick, too soon.
No, if he has a speech impediment.
Oh, that wouldn't be ideal in fairness.
No, like if Fozzie had a stutter.
Stop it.
Go now on this pitch now. No. We're going to the
Shire. Stop it. Move on, Hector.
Like, you could know all the tactics in the world, but two things I say to you.
These are only a pack of sherry. No, I know, but Fozzie got the boys going.
Fozzie got the boys going.
So I have to say this, and I will say this. As a coach, I'm looking to get into the minds of these young lads.
Yes.
And they're nervous and they're like young rhinoceroses. They're like ready to go out. And these are like some of the muscle, the way they've changed at 15, 16, 17, Tommy. Five of our lads played for the county this year.
Ooh,
five
wow.
of them. So we had the talent, but we had to go out and do the job. But there's one lad I will mention to, Sean Mulrennan, who's from Bournemouth National School. I met him when he went into junior invis. He's a great guy. He's a great soccer player, but he'd done his cruciate.
Did you know then?
He's only in sixth class.
When you met him in junior invis.
I knew there was potential there, the Bournemouth
base. He's in sixth class, but he's on the minor team.
There was five or six or seven, there was eight or nine of the Bournemouth lads on the team this year from the national school. But this young lad did his cruciate, but he came to every single training session that we've had since the beginning of April, and he stood at the dugout in wind and rain and just, he was there. He was there on a Tuesday and a Friday, and he'd done his cruciate, he'd had the operation, and wow. he still felt part of the team. So we asked him to tog, even though we asked him to tog on the day. So I got them in the huddle just before we went out onto the pitch, and I said, lads, we're doing it for this lad here. You all know him. He was at every single training session. He could have lay at home playing the Xbox or Netflix
yeah.
or whatever, but he came to every session. We're doing it for Sean Mulrennan. We're going to win this title for Sean. And as we came out through the tunnel in Tuam Stadium, the 16Bs, the lads who just won the 17B Championship were coming through the tunnel, and we made a guard of honour and slapped them younger lads through and welcomed them through and congratulated them.
Goodbye, Johnny.
Am I nice feeding? Am I shoddy flint? Am I shoddy dog? Am I shady? And the coaches and everything. And as they came through the back out to the back of the stadium, of the stand, having done the job, we went out to finish the job, and it was a good match. It was a really good match.
So what about the beer afterwards?
What was the final score?
2-13 to 2-9. 2-13 to 2-10. We won by three in the end. They got a penalty and we scored two. But it was a tough winter, hard, but the elation on the pitch.
But it's county final. It's
county minor A. It was phenomenal. So what the big thing was, get back to Clare Galway, and we're going to walk across the bridge like Clare Galway men, like Balchy men. So the bonfire,
like Cullen and Ferdy.
The bonfires were lighting at the castle in Clare Galway, all along the road back in from Tuam. Once you hit Clare Galway's bonfires, people, farmers out on the side of the road burning bales of straw. It was just
Jesus. You went out as hard.
Well, that's the tradition.
That's what parishes do.
That's what tradition. I don't know. Do you have bonfires?
Fine.
We had the straw burning, Tommy. And as we came to the bridge. Every young lad got out of the car, we stopped the traffic, and the road was ablaze.
We're not great on the old bonfires.
Like Game of Thrones, as they walked across the bridge, victorious with the flags. And then we brought them for pizza, and then we said, right lads, good luck, we're going for pints.
And we went for pints.
We went to the Summerfield bar and the coaches, and we had a great night. And I attacked the Coors Heavy.
Wow.
Attacked it. So phenomenal. It was an amazing...
Does something like that make you love where you live even more?
Absolutely, Tommy.
Of course it does.
I'm happiest when I'm with those lads, those parents, those coaches, those dads that I know, those mums that I know that have been dropping them up to the pitch since they... A mother said to me on the pitch in Tuam Stadium...
Swing into me Tuesday when himself is gone.
I'll be still hungover.
She said to me that... Owen, one of the lads, said, I love this place, when he was being dropped off the training during the week.
Mm.
He said, I love this place. And that's on a wet, dark evening in the winter.
It's brilliant, isn't it?
16 years of age.
Wow.
I love this place. Tommy, I'm happiest when I'm in the middle of those things. And I want to talk about that later on in the podcast, of what makes me really, really happy and where we are in this world of who we are and what we're doing.
I was talking to a fella from Ballina the other day, and Knockmore obviously in the county final against Belmullet this weekend, excitement. And he says to me, I'm mad jealous of you, he said. Like, I'm fucking jealous of you. How, like, you don't understand how lucky you are to be in a county final
yes.
and how exciting
yes.
it is for you.
Yeah.
And there's like Sicknd. In fairness, we like Sicknd and Ballina, so.
And I want to say that, like, there are teams and there are clubs and parishes and there are people listening to this podcast who do work with underage teams, girls and boys, and clubs and junior and intermediate and senior and of all levels, who will never, ever, ever get to lift a trophy. And in juvenile level, it's
in each competition, yeah. Only one team a year
Tommy,
gets to lift
so
a trophy.
Many teams, so many parishes struggle to get an underage team together, where parishes have to come together to get the 14-year-olds playing under 17 in country parishes. So we are very, very lucky where we are. But it was a phenomenal day for Clare.
And just county finals all last weekend. There was like 13 of them. And listening to all the reports as they're flying in, it's so exciting, isn't it?
They will remember that for the rest of their lives. When they're in their 40s and their 50s, they will remember. Do you remember when we won the minor?
And it'll encourage them to stay playing as well. You know, encourage those lads to stay.
And that sense of camaraderie and sense of parish and sense of friends and sense of lads that you went to school with. And that was their final juvenile game. Isn't it mad?
So come here to me.
Now they move into adult, the adult world. And how many of those boys will eventually go on to play senior for their clubs? Because that's the big conundrum in the GAA. Not many of them will. And our job as juvenile coaches is done. Once they
So what do you now next season, so where do you coach?
We might go under 19, but that's the final leg of it, because after that it's up into adult, and so many young lads and girls will fall off, and just because of distractions and college and work, how many of them actually go through? It's a tiny percentage that will end up playing senior.
Yeah.
Where you have 25 young lads there on the 17A and 25 on the 17B.
Well, congratulations. And you've been working with those young fellas since what age?
Seven or eight years.
Seven.
Ago.
Well, fair play to you, H. Yeah. Fair play to you. A few things I want to bring up to you. First one, you were talking there about happiness and where you're happy. So, Sister Stanislaus Kennedy has this book out at the moment called Finding Peace or something like that, you know?
Okay.
And they asked me to do, so it's about 40 well-known and half well-known people who have written like a page and a half or two pages on finding peace.
Yes.
And so I didn't think about it too much. I just fucking, it flew out of me one afternoon, maybe about 5 or 6 months ago. And book was published, and then she handed it. Someone's phone is going there. I can hear a fucking buzz.
It's not mine, is it?
Hector, will you turn off your phone?
It's not mine.
I'm hearing a phone going there.
Go on, just leave it.
It's not mine.
Go on, it must be mine.
Yeah, keep going.
It's probably yours. It's yours.
Mine is turned off.
I'm on air.
That's another thing, by the way. Another big event for me. Another big event. Today, this morning, I did it. Another big event.
What?
Big event for a man in 2021. Can I tell you what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah? I cancelled my Netflix subscription.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Cancelled it.
Honestly.
Fucking cancelled
it.
I cancelled my Amazon Prime.
So what are you going to do?
Christ sake, Tommy.
You're becoming absolutely ridiculous. You have nothing left now.
There's nothing left in his life.
There's nothing. You're fucking completely cut off.
With other stuff.
Just go back to the fucking book, quick. We'll talk about this after.
But I did. Was that a big thing for someone to do? To just fucking go? I went
well,
on.
I could never cancel.
Are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure?
Did you cancel Netflix in the house or on your phone?
I can't cancel on my phone.
He doesn't have it on that thing.
I have an old person Dora phone. I cancelled it on my laptop, so I can't.
So
watch
now
it
you
anymore.
Can't. So
just fucking cancelled it. And I was sitting in the hotel last night, and I was going like, I've been on the road a good bit now recently.
Yes.
So I was up in Belfast for 2 weeks, couldn't go home because there was a dose of the old fucking COVID there, so I had to stay up in Belfast, and that's when I went gambling. And
yes.
Every fucking night going on to see subscription platforms, what will I watch? Will I watch Idris fucking Elba or fucking Amy Schumer or fucking Tom Clancy or fucking Shahid Shahood? And then I just last night I go, it's the same owl shite. It's like going into a shop.
Right.
Back in the day, you went into a shop, there was Twixes, Crunchies, Milky Ways, Mars
Star
and Marathon. And that was maybe a Curly Wurly. That was it.
Yes.
You had about 8 chocolate bars to choose from. Now you go in, there's 40,000 fucking bars. So you walk in hungry and you walk out confused.
Yes, yes.
So I just, that's...
So now you're
done.
Well,
I go on Netflix now. There's too many fucking shows.
Right, so...
And there's just too much, and they're all the same colours. It's all yellow and fucking red and blue and black and fucking shiny and fucking watch this and fucking watch that. And then you have to go online to...
to fucking read a review of the show. Is this any good? Well, I some cunt in Canada. I didn't like it. I thought after the first episode of God, it's stupid. And then he went, well, I won't fucking watch that then.
He's right. Some, the man in Canada knows.
Tool bag in fucking Canada gave it one star. But I'm not fucking watching it then. Hour after fucking hour. And by the time you fucking watch something, I tried to watch something last night. This fucking fella, I said, I watch this, it's a western. I love it's an all black western.
Right.
Nothing but yes, black fellas in the western.
And, it was black and white, was it?
It was what?
Was it in black and white?
That's racist, Rita. No, it was
no,
in colour.
No, I thought you meant it was in black and white.
No, it was black. It was black cowboys. Right. Black fucking saloon owners. Black hotel. And black barmen.
I've seen that.
And I'll fucking watch this.
What's
now.
What's it called?
It's called Idris Elba. Anyway, so I went into watch it. Oh, and in God. The first scene, in the first fucking scene, a child is stabbed in the head and a young one is fucking blown across the bedroom with two shotguns. What the fuck? Half 10 at
what
night.
What were you expecting, for fuck's sake? It was a fucking western.
And half 10 at night and I'm watching fucking murder and maiming. How are you supposed to fucking sleep after that?
So this morning, is that what prompted you to delete everything?
No, I've been thinking about it for a long time and then this morning I said, fuck this, what have I got to lose? I didn't even know how much my subscriptions cost me a month.
Right, well, maybe, probably either, I don't
I
know.
I didn't fucking know.
What's Netflix? It used to be a fiver.
Yeah, €18 a month I was paying.
Oh, fucking hell. Too much, astronomical.
So I cancelled my Netflix and I cancelled my Amazon Prime.
You must be
Prime.
Saving a fortune. Well, you're on no fucking contract on the phone. You've now no fucking...
He's given up everything.
So you don't watch the telly. So now you don't watch telly.
I am going to surrender to the terrestrial channels. Whatever's on is on.
You're not.
Hairy bikers. Nationwide. Newsnight.
You'll surrender to the six major terrestrials.
Casualty. On Naked West, Attraction.
On Emmerdale. Western.
Jon Snow.
On Western.
Mary McAleese talking about something.
G.A. Gold.
I'm going to surrender to that. Lake Regale, the heroes of Irish football. I'm surrendering to the terrestrial channels. Right.
So that means you will never see Fauda.
That means I'll
Fauda, the Israeli
Fauda.
Boys. Fauda.
I've so seen it already.
Fauda. It's Fauda, Tommy. It's not Fauda.
And who speaks fucking Hebrew? Me or you?
Who
the fuck speaks? It's Fauda.
In fairness, have you seen
Fauda and the boys going into Palestine rescuing the young
Hamas boys?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, that was filmed.
You're cutting out
and
choice. Doron
is the guy who's always going. Yeah. Have you seen Fauda?
Of course I have. But
Fauda's
but
good.
Now when I go back to a hotel of an evening, do you know
what do you do?
A strange thing as well. So I'd been out of the house for 3 weeks.
Yes.
And I came home and really looking forward to seeing everybody and got great hugs off the children and off my missus and all the type of stuff. I spoke to my fucking 2-year-old granddaughter on the phone.
Aww.
2 years of age. And she says, hi, granddad.
Ah, stop.
Fucking
that's
beautiful, you know. So got home, got hugs from everybody. It was great to see them all. And then 7:30 in the evening, they were all off doing their own thing on their own gadgets.
And then you were...
And I was going... What is that? So I've
you turned to the whiskey.
No, I didn't. But I just thought, okay, this is it's just maybe that inspired part of it as well. But now, from now on, when I go to a hotel room,
yes,
I will just fucking settle down onto the bed with a book of George Bernard Shaw plays, or maybe some the history of Scandinavian drama.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that would be brilliant. Yeah,
and then I'll just switch on the remote control and I'll try RT1, RT2, RT+1, RT2 -4,
TV3.
Aroctus.
I wouldn't go near the fucking TV.
You'd be watching Aroctus
TV. And if there's nothing on, there's nothing on, and I'll just fucking leave it at that.
And what, you just sit there looking at the four
and
walls?
And you won't go on the laptop. You won't go on Netflix. You won't go on Amazon Prime to see the new series of The Boys. You won't watch Deadwood.
Do you think you're going to become more boring or...?
Maybe he's right. Maybe all this
he's
is
not.
A fucking
that
farce.
That fucking won't last 3 weeks. He'd be back on
again. How much of it can we take?
Let's see.
Saturate your eyes, your mind.
Let's see where we are in 3 weeks. Another thing that I wanted to...
Will you go back to Sister Stanislaus?
What's on Stanislaus.
Yeah. Stanislaus. Go back there. Let's go back into that.
So I wrote this thing anyway about peace and
finding inner peace.
And so the book is full of people like Micheál Martin and Miriam O'Callaghan and Brian Dobson and all these people. Right, I find peace in the garden.
Marty Morrissey
and Johnny Sexton saying, oh, "I love playing with the kids and all this
go
stuff."
Go to spare and stuff like that.
Yeah. Someone's phone is going there again.
It's not mine.
I turned it off.
It's not mine. I'm looking at
one.
Okay, so
he's allergic to modern technology.
No, it's just I hear.
Go on.
So I basically wrote a piece that my wife said made her very sad.
Right.
And basically I was saying,
oh God,
the opening line of my my little thing was, there'll be peace enough when you're dead. That life isn't about peace. Life is a kind of an overwhelming sensual experience. Mm. And you go through all the emotions. You go anger, stress, agitation. I would be permanently half fucking agitated.
Yes.
And and I drink lots of coffee and I'm doing lots of travelling and there's lots of pressure in my work and I have intense relationships with lots of different people. Mm. And I think that's what life is.
Right, yeah.
Life is that fucking washing machine of turbulent aliveness.
Mm-hmm.
And this thing of like we get peace, we get an unbelievable deep peace every night
when we sleep
and we go below dreaming.
Yeah.
Now you can be agitated in your dreams, but when you go below dreaming to pure fucking silent, you don't register nothing, you don't even know your own name, you're not even aware, the you that you know disappears entirely. And every single man, woman and child on the earth gets about an hour or 2 hours of that every night.
Yeah.
And that's all we fucking need.
Right.
And then you're dreaming and all of a sudden you're riding an elephant naked through Cavan and then you wake up and you've three kids to bring to school and you have the stress of paying the mortgage. That's what fucking life is. Life isn't about finding peace. Life is about engaging in activities
that
either worry you or scare you or
energise you
or suffering or whatever the fuck it is, but it's about fucking living it.
Mm.
So that at the end of your days when you go up to heaven and when you have peace for eternity,
yes,
and God said, how was that? And you'd say, fuck me, man, that was some trip.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah.
So that was. Now you were thinking about happiness
as well. What did I write there? Read that top bit.
Who I am.
And?
Where am I happiest?
Where am I happiest?
So where are you happiest?
So Tommy, so again, I've said it before and I've had in the last 2 weeks with the GAA, with the boys, with winning that, but I found in the last 2 weeks as well, I've never been sadder than the moment Freddie. I've had some really two nights of complete crying for hours because it's hit me a second wave of missing my brother.
Yeah.
I've been
yeah.
hit by a second wave of missing my brother, and I reevaluated it in Serbia, and I reevaluated it last week one night at home as well, of what am I at and who am I and where am I happiest, and it's something I think we all have to do. And what are we doing here? Why are we doing what we're doing every single day? Because it fucking means really nothing at the end of the day in so many different ways, because it's not nourishing to the soul. So I'm trying to think about, what am I happiest doing? And I'm happiest being around people and listening to their stories and sharing stories and sharing compassion and being kind and saying hello to someone on an apple green and listening to their stories. Because when I get those little things, that makes me happiest. And that all this other stuff that we're doing is sort of immaterial. Yes. It really is. But we're slaving, that you've spoken about it before, being in debt and having a mortgage and going to work and stress and that. But when we cut away at all that, why, it fucking means nothing really. It means nothing to what we're doing.
I think that happens as you get older. You get a bit more ruthless and you kind of ask yourself those questions. Okay, where am I having the crack? And that's the reason why we're doing this podcast, is because we were kind of thinking, well, irrespective of any outside reaction to it, it's crack.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And to choose those things in your life that are fun and that the outside world, in a sense, is irrelevant. It's not about ambition or achievement or status or anything like that. It's about, you know, and you have your GAA now this weekend. Mm. And it's about parish and community and fun.
The ninja blender broke, the juicer broke, and I was wanting to make juices to try.
I thought you had a little samurai fella to do a bit of cleaning up.
So I went in the other day to a large shop to get another blender, because we like our juices during the winter, and I'm trying to get my body back up to normal after COVID. And then as I came out, I'm opening my eyes, and I've said it before that if you open your eyes to the fucking beautiful things that are around us. I saw a dad and a son eating McDonald's in a car park just down from McDonald's, and they were so happy sitting in the front of the car eating McDonald's at about 11:30 in the morning. And they were probably saying, yeah, look at that.
Don't tell mum
we're in here.
And the dad had
a Big Mac in his arm, and the young lad was getting the nuggets in, and they spotted me and I spotted them, and I gave them the thumbs up, and the young lad just went like that. 11:30 in a car park in Galway having McDonald's. The week before, I saw young lads in beautiful tractors with their girlfriends up at a tractor run, and I'm looking around going, this is fucking everywhere. There's such beautiful things happening that we're not spotting it. Now, maybe, Tommy, it's because we're a little bit older now, we're spotting this stuff. I didn't spot this stuff when I was 21 or 31. Did we? Did we spot any beauty, or did we reevaluate like we're doing now? It's like, it's there all the time, but we're not letting it into our heads every day. You're happy. You were happy, I saw, during the weekends. Once you're up at the club selling the hats, Knockmore, coffee mornings, doing all, you're happiest when you're with your own people.
But you know what? I think the thing about it is when you look back on your late teens and early 20s, the happiness there wasn't so much noticing how beautiful the world is. But most people were doing things that weren't about their career.
Yeah, you were only happy. Yeah.
You were hanging out with people that were a good laugh. You were doing things that you enjoyed. You were kind of, back then I was kind of, we were working in theatre. So we were kind of doing shows, and not loads of people were coming to the shows. And maybe we weren't the most highly skilled actors that ever fucking walked the world. And we were rehearsing and performing in an old abandoned garage that this fella gave us. But you'd have great memories coming out of that. But it wasn't really about the world being beautiful. It was about just not doing something that was that you had great,
that you had to do, pressure to do it.
Or that it was just a bit more carefree and irresponsible, and it was beautiful.
But like, do you know the way, in your parish, you're living in your parish. You never moved out of Mayo. You've never, of course, you did. You're travelling, did all that. But you're living around your dad. You're living, your brother's close by. Your sister's not close by. Your cousins are close by. Your uncles are close by. And to me, that is paradise. Because in the modern society, we're splintered and we're fractured. And there's cousins gone to America, and there's brother gone to New Zealand.
Yeah,
and,
but
and that little, and Tommy,
well, I was talking to a fella. I was talking to a fella one time. Sorry to cut across, Larissa. I was talking to a fella one time who said that he lived in the wild wind of County Clare.
Yeah.
Like he lived just what you were saying there about parish. He lived beside brothers and sisters and cousins and aunties and uncles and priests.
That could be stressful too.
And he said he loved Dublin. He said, I loved the promiscuity of Dublin. And I loved the anonymity of it.
Yeah, there's definitely that side.
There is that side of it that people have to escape the parish.
I would say there should be a bus from Knockmore every 3 weeks that delivers.
There is a bus.
And just has a neon light in front of it. Dublin.
It delivers randy country people up to the fucking city, and they can go fingering and riding and sucking and bopping
and dragging.
You know, we've got cars and
sporting. And sporting.
You can do that. No, but some people don't want to live like that. Some people don't like it. You know, like, and also I would, hasten to say that Knockmore is a very special place. Maybe all parishes aren't the same.
Sorry, you're
and
cracking
maybe
up there a bit, Larissa. Sorry, you're cracking up there a bit.
I was, my dad's sister is 92 years of age, lives in New York, flew home last week. She's here for a month. And I was talking to her the other night, and she's so, like, she was born in 1930, like. Wow. Like, to move through all the different stages of her life, left Ireland.
And she's still driving a taxi in Manhattan.
Yeah, she still actually drives a car. Like, imagine down through all the...
She
lives in New Jersey and she fucking flies through all these big, massive fucking road networks. I was with her one day and nearly had a stroke about 10 years ago. She was fucking 82, like. She picks me up and says, oh, we're going out to Jersey Shore, right? She's fucking there, six-lane... Fucking, I was like, oh, my God. And she's still driving to this day, right? And she says, she gets up at 6 o'clock, three mornings a week, works in the local food bank, you know, works there till 12 o'clock in the morning. She's so glamorous. Oh, like
92.
Amazing. And she goes and does that every three mornings a week. That's her religious kind of, not religious, but that's what she does every week, three mornings a week. Flew home.
Is she back for the match?
On her own. She's not back for the match. She's just moved on from Knockmore now after this length of time. But she left Ireland, did the boat to New York. Wow. 5 weeks, you know, had great stories of, you know, was great friends with Carmel Quinn, who was a singer, used to sing at Carnegie Hall, and, you know, lived, minded her kids, and knew all the famous Irish fellas that were there in bars, and knew Jimmy Neary. He owned a bar in New York, and Maureen O'Hara used to eat in his restaurant every day. She was his dance partner. They used to go out dancing all the time. Like, all these stories are like...
And
you don't actually appreciate half the stuff she'd be saying half the time. You'd be like, oh, Jesus Christ, I don't
know. Did she marry?
Never married. Was engaged three times, never got married.
What happened? What happened to the three engagements?
She just wasn't for her. She didn't want to be tied down to a marriage and just free and easy
three
life.
Three times.
As the fella said, do you think she'll die wondering?
I don't know. I don't know. Like, maybe, you know, old Irish kind of, I don't know what kind of, you know, whatever. And she'd, you'd ring her there.
She didn't really give an answer to
no,
that.
No, I didn't. I didn't. I'll find out. She's here for another 3 weeks. I'll find out.
We need to find out exactly. Who are the men?
That's how you phrase the question. Just ask her, auntie.
Will you die wondering?
Will you die wondering?
Okay, I'll ask her and see what she says. But like, she says, you know, you'd ring her there. My father would ring her. She's like, I can't talk now. I'm just, two of my friends are picking me up and we're going out for lunch. Like, there's always people picking her up and taking her out for lunch here, there and everywhere. Like, and like, she left Ireland and she'd never want to come back here. You know, like, she's talking about people that she lived with, like, lived in the parish. Like, a neighbour came to visit my father the other night, and he said when dad's parents went to visit those kids in America in the 50s, they went over to America, and it was the biggest news in the parish,
right,
that they had flown over. They were one of the first flights to go to New York. Like, you know, but like, how much things have changed. And I like living in Knockmore now. Yeah, it's great. But like, you know, some people don't want to live there.
I'm not saying that you have to.
It doesn't necessarily fulfil happiness to live
there. So think of it more like this. I'm not saying, of course, people have to get out of their parish. And of course, things happen where people have to just get out of there.
It's good to ride new blood.
It's good. Yeah. And lads have to go and join the French Foreign Legion because they battered your man at the back of the... All that.
Everyone has different things.
So what I'm saying...
When the guards give you a one-way fucking train ticket out of town...
You go.
So there are many reasons. But the thing is, think of the house, the way it was in Ireland. Whether it was in Stonybatter or Kilkenny or Drogheda or Navan or Clare or Bohola, when the door was open at the back of the house and when people could walk in, so there was a sense of kindness and welcomeness, and there was the lineage.
Our house wasn't like that.
The lineage.
We had nothing.
He didn't even go to mass, though, in fairness. He didn't even go to mass.
My mother's gift,
right, was
the love of other children. But
she liked other people's children.
Yeah, she fucking adored them. So my mother would kind of do a traipse around the estate, and whatever mammies were under pressure, she'd invite their kids back to fucking our house and fucking lavish them with attention.
Yeah, but that, isn't that a beautiful thing?
And she had Tommy locked in the hot press.
I remember one time there was a Pakistani family, and the mother was just under pressure. Right, and they weren't long in the town. The mother was just fucking under pressure, didn't have a word of English. And so my mother invited the three young kids, young Pakistani children, to our house, who didn't speak a fuck. We lived in a house,
but that's
much bigger
that's
than a fucking than a Mercedes Viano. And so we would come home, right, and our mother would be making stuff for these other, and nothing for us. Nothing for us.
But Tommy,
what, like making their dinner
fucking,
and stuff?
She'd be giving them fucking shepherd's pie, and then we'd have leftovers and a few fish fingers.
She really didn't like it all, Tommy.
My mother never once made me toast.
Of course she did. That's she fucking
never,
weird.
No, she fucking
How do you mean
didn't.
She never made you toast?
She never made me toast.
But maybe.
I was 19 before I had my first license. My mother never made me toast.
What did you have for breakfast?
Cornflakes and water.
And out.
You had cornflakes with water.
Yeah. Pakistani kids is eating all the fucking milk.
Yeah, but she was showing empathy to other kids.
She used to make
nice.
Them scones and everything.
Scones and fucking apple tarts and cheesecake.
Why was she doing that?
I don't fucking know.
She
I'll
had
ask
the
her in heaven.
Over there for Tommy.
How come you never looked after us? Who are these kids?
You'd eat cold beans out
it's
of
like
the tin.
A fucking.
Tommy, are you sure you were like, or did you
loved.
Not just? Oh yeah, are you sure you even belong to that family?
My father would come home at 5:30 every evening. What the fuck is this? he'd get fucking 2 fish fingers as well. One of these days, Tom will teach you how to make toast. One of the days.
It's like
hot crusty bread.
Did you have a toaster?
We had a fucking toaster, all right. We know. No fucking toast.
All he wanted was toast.
So she used to go out and do the grocery shopping for the neighbours.
For other people to look after their kids.
What the hell is that
I'm
about?
I'm just countering the narrative of
no,
the open back door.
All right, no, but hang on. Okay, let's go back to...
I am myself quite fond of an open back door.
Yes.
You dirty, rotten passenger.
So, Mongo, like, if you think of the...
Mongolian
yurt, right? We spoke about that yurt where families where families are together, where there's no Netflix, there's no nothing, but they're sharing stories
to Mongolian
and jokes.
Netflix.
Don't have toasters either.
Listen, if you think about it, and I've been thinking about this on the bigger picture.
Okay.
Why is there so much yoga and well-being and minding each other and my mind is gone and all this? Because we've lost the basics of love and kindness and all those little things that were important growing up as a kid. So many kids and teenagers don't get any of those traits. It's all about succeeding academically. It's just this rat race we're living in.
No, we're becoming Americanized.
I don't know.
I think it's about embracing failure. Like I
Tommy, I can't deal with the fact that he was 19 when he had his first lesson.
And I was probably 15.
He had to go to a hotel and get it.
Could he send up some toast? How much is it? He could have charged me £9 for a fucking slice, but I wouldn't have been any the wiser.
Triangle slices.
What's that stuff? Can I have some?
It's about that failure is good and failure is okay.
No, but my point being about...
No, because failure is... only one person can succeed. Do you
no,
know what
not
I mean?
Only one person.
No, but in a competition, say it's a men's singles at Wimbledon, there's only one winner.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? But it's I think.
But
I,
is it the journey or is it the victory?
So what?
I was delighted with my young friend. I wouldn't be pushing my kids in school if they have an academic flair. One of my boys now has academic flair, and he thrives in the university. He loves doing research.
Wow.
And he loves finding out stuff. He loves writing essays and he loves coming up with his own opinions. He's studying philosophy and sociology and politics, and it's his environment. Now, I never whipped him that way.
Yeah.
You know, I have another fella who just loves physical work.
Mm.
Loves fucking building walls and
painting. Well, he didn't get that of you.
It's always the bitter word, isn't it?
Well, he didn't.
Always
I'm just saying.
He
had to go and learn that
out
for himself.
So what I'm saying is that I didn't whip them.
Yes.
They had their own natures and they were given the space to discover that.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be pushing the younger kids in school either. And if they don't want to go to school, I'd say, fucking stay in bed. We'll say nothing. I'll tell your mother you're out the door. Lay fucking low.
I've a lad who's gone to TY. He's on TY work experience this week and he's painting.
So I was very proud because one of my young fellas had a... He was out with the COVID and he had to do a home economics bit of homework to catch up.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? And he says, yeah, Dad, I had to do all this thing about different food types.
Yeah.
You know, about carbohydrates and proteins. He doesn't talk like that.
Like he's fucking on university challenge. Go on.
And he does it all through Irish as well. And he said, so here, he showed me all his work, you know, and here are my list of proteins. And he had pasta down in his... And which is obviously a carbohydrate.
Right, yeah.
And I says to him...
Oh, it's obviously a carbohydrate, yes.
And I says, sweetheart, pasta is actually a carbohydrate, not a protein. And he goes, I couldn't give a fuck.
He didn't say that. He didn't say that. Did he say that?
That's a, I said that's I my boy. That's my boy.
I couldn't give a fuck if it's a fucking
breaking down the fucking.
That's lovely, isn't it?
I've never
language.
Been so proud as a father. That's my boy.
Couldn't give a fuck.
I couldn't give a fuck. That.
What age? Is he 12? Is he 12? That's class. He's in first year. I don't give a fuck. I just do it. I'm just gonna do it. Right. I don't know.
Dad, I couldn't give a fuck.
Is that beautiful?
Yeah, there is something. But you see, you're not putting pressure on them, and so many other people are in that box of fucking driving them. I can't do it. I don't think I can do it. All I want is to have those traits that maybe I have and that I got from my mother and father.
But our
grandparents weren't fucking, it's all about succeeding and academic fucking, it's all shite at the back of it all. It all is this boxes that we're putting people into, and parents trying to be parents when they were never parented right themselves because they lack kindness, love, they were never had conversations in the house where they felt safe and they felt secure and they understand their tribe and they understand their people and all those.
That's my fucking childhood you're talking about there. Why are we hugging Mansoor and fucking Caliphat next door, but not hugs for me.
My mother hugged you.
Slipped a copy of St. Mark's Gospel into my bag. I thought she was doing it as well.
Like,
well,
that rubbed off.
Why have we so much brokenness in the mind, and or why are we? Why is there so much well-being and yoga and minding yourself and yoga? And why is there so much depression? Why the fuck?
Because
is it,
the gurus have spotted a market,
it's not,
and now they're
it's
making
not.
I firmly
believe that it's the basics of kindness and love and communication and stories and happiness.
Yes.
And for a child to feel safe in their own house, and for neighbours to pass through and see their cousins and meet their families.
Because people are too busy and they haven't got
exactly,
time.
Because we're too busy in the modern world and we're not seeing the simple things that we can do every day.
Let's put forward a manifesto of more failure and more chat.
And more jokes and more love and more hugs in that kitchen and more fucking time to see what's around you. It's there. And those traits for a teenager going on to be an adult, that I'm telling you, that adult won't need to go for psychology or fucking psychiatric fucking treatment or fucking this or yoga or to do something to decompress their mind, because in their mind they know the things that are most important in this world.
Your son can make a fucking philosophy essay on this.
I don't
segment.
Give a fuck.
Did you ever get thrown out of many classes?
We lived in the corridor.
I was thrown out of French for 2 years. First year and second year outside Mrs. Ryan's.
Yeah.
2 years just stood there and nobody questioned it.
It was just being thrown out was kind of, it was so common in our school.
Get out. You just stand outside the door with your bag, and once you left the room you didn't know where to go.
Me and Audrey got thrown out of science class for the whole year as well. We just wandered around the school
the whole year.
Ever checked to see where we were, and he never let us back in.
There's detention now. My young lad had detention this week and he played in a county final. He went down to the shop. And he told them he was going to the shop and they had a free class, but he didn't come back in time. Six of them, and they got detention. Detention an hour after the bus left. He had to sit there.
How did he get home then?
He texted, he goes, "Detention's over. Will you come and get me?" Detention. It's terrible.
I heard about
no
this.
Detention in our days.
Closing
this
the doors.
This young fella wrote a note at school to say that his mother had said he can go early. You know, he had an appointment, and she came home to find him having a glass of red wine and prawns that he'd cooked sitting at the table just by himself.
Who was the child?
He was like 13, 14.
It's not Gus, is it? Is it Gus?
No. Isn't that hilarious? So he wrote a note from his mother to just get out of school and went home just to have a glass of wine and cook some prawns.
Wow. So, well, was that a little bit deep there now, lads? Was that a deep podcast? Is that because fucking every fucking second podcast is about fucking well-being? Just fucking do the basics.
Yeah, but I think we could set ourselves apart from the rest of the market by just encouraging failure.
Yeah. It's great.
So the motto
be
of
happy,
this podcast,
embrace failure.
Today's podcast is called "I Don't Give a Fuck."
Thank you very much for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you again soon. God bless and good luck.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.